And as we transition into the message, I've been thinking a lot about war lately. Every 9/11 is especially significant to me. I think it's significant to all of our country, but it's significant to me because it marks another year in ministry. I was going through my first Bible classes when the towers were hit. We interrupted Bible class and watched the towers go down. And I knew I was where I was supposed to be. I need to be in this battle for souls. I had that just clarity right there. It's like this is it right here. And so now each year marks another year. And as you all know, it's 20 years now. It's 20 years since 9/11 happened. And then we have this other tragedy that happened in Afghanistan. And I think it's the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I've had a fair share of things that I've seen. I hope I never forget that airplane leaving Afghanistan. I hope I never forget the desperation of those people as they tried to get free, as they tried to get out of there, even to the extent of trying to hang on to an airplane that is a gigantic machine that's going to go hundreds of miles an hour and fly up into the icy, they freeze to death. I mean, it was just an incredible scene to me to look at the desperation of those people. And it's etched right here. I don't want to be that. Watching them, the desperation, the death, the loss, the explosion, the 13 that were lost, along with all the collateral damage and the Afghan people that had nothing to do with the Taliban that are getting slaughtered right now as we speak. Christians they're going to get hurt. I didn't like that. I didn't like that scene at all. With that, let's go to the Word of God. In 1 Samuel 14, we're going to revisit, let's make it as if it would be for the first time. We're going to revisit one of the greatest victories in the history of the world, the greatest military victories in the history of the world. 1 Samuel 14, we'll start in verses 1 through 7. If you're able, let's stand while we read the word. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that's on the other side." But he did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men: Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod. But the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one was Bozez, and the other name of the other was Senna. The front of one faced northward opposite Michmash, and the other southward opposite Gibeah. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." So his arm bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart." You may be seated. Oh, thank you, Lord. I want to give you a little context to this scene. In the chapter before, you see all kinds of stuff happening. You see, Jonathan poked the bear. Jonathan attacked the Philistines in chapter 13. He went out and he kind of stepped. The other day, I bothered a nest of hornets. That wasn't fun. But, that's what he did. He went and he poked them. He bothered them. And so the whole Philistine army, they're all in an uproar and they're gathering. And the Bible tells that they're mounting like sand of the seashore in number. The Philistine army is mounting. And meanwhile, back at the Israeli camp, their king is in a he's in a panic. He knows what happened. Jonathan attacked. He knows what's coming, and he is in a panic. And so is all of Israel. They're trembling. The army is trembling, the Bible says. The people are hiding. They're looking to hide in caves and anywhere they can hide, as they know the Philistines are coming. And so into that scene, Saul offers, he's panicked, and he's got his 50 reasons why to do something wrong, so he makes an unlawful sacrifice to God, and his reign, his kingdom is rejected by God. There is 600 people left in the Israeli army. 600 people against a multitude like sand of the seashore. Oh, and they don't have any weapons. Saul and Jonathan have weapons, but the people don't. They got pickaxes and things. Why? Because the Philistines are the ones that they got all the blacksmiths. So they're not making weapons for the enemy. So into this scene, into this context, we have this story, this military movement. It caught my attention just the first couple words. Now it happened. What happened? They ran away? They got slaughtered? Now? Now what could possibly happen into that? Now an act of God is going to happen. Now an assault on the enemy. Into this scene, an assault, an impossible assault on the enemy will take place. And it is an awesome thing to see it unfold. I think it's awesome. Anyways, whoa. Now it happened. Now? Hey, did you know now is a good time? Hey, do you hear me? I want you to get this. Do you know now is a good time? The enemy has mounted. They're like sand to the seashore. If you don't know, right here in the United States, the Philistines, it's like sand to the seashore. We're heading to godlessness, into more godlessness in our country. Now's a good time. And it's a good time in Afghanistan where the Taliban has taken over and the violence has taken over. And it's a good time in Mexico. And it's a good time in North Korea. And it's a good time in China. And it's a good time worldwide to do something right now. You hear me, right? It's clear, right? I mean, it's clear as day that now is a good time. I say it because a lot of us are good at, maybe now is not the good time. Well, it was a good time for Jonathan. He knew what he needed to do. And one thing he didn't do, he didn't tell anybody. just his armor bearer. Hey. Why? Why? Well, we see in a few chapters, there's some clues. But a few chapters later, a young David will come to the front and he will kill Goliath. And he will, before he kills Goliath, he will have to overcome the insults of his brothers, the doubts of everybody. He will have to overcome the doubts of his own king. And then he will graciously have to demonstrate why his king's help won't help him, and he'll have to do it the way he knows how to do it. And then after all that, he gets to face the greatest warrior in history, probably talking about in the flesh, a 9'9" giant that is the champion. Maybe just heading into the Philistines is enough. And I think we get very, 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 very distracted. Oh, do we wear a mask? Oh, I don't know. Should we get this? No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But they're doing that, and I don't like that. Well, wait a minute. There's a front that we need to get to. Because there are people hanging off an airplane trying to get saved. And we need to quit being distracted as a church. Is this okay, Pastor? We need to quit being distracted because there's an all-out war for souls here. And I see so many, I come into so many churches and I hear it. You know, I hear, oh, we got this going on. That I know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, brother. You keep going. Keep pastoring. Keep moving forward. Keep attacking. Keep your focus high because we don't want to be distracted by all this stuff. Oh, hallelujah. This is good, huh? We need focus. We need to focus on where the battle is and why it is. Because the enemy, he's very good at distracting us. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Jonathan didn't seem to battle with that. Oh, I'm sorry, I keep touching here, I apologize. I've got a hernia and it keeps popping out, so I got to have surgery when I get back. Too many blocks, but don't let that distract you. I remember one of the things that, don't have a booger hanging out your nose, was one of the lessons that I learned in Bible school. Because, yeah, they'll get distracted, so please don't, I'm pushing this because I'm all fired up and I'm, anyway. Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I don't want, keep your eyes here, please, and I don't want my guts to fall out. Hallelujah. Oh, we're having fun, too. I should have worn my girdle. I didn't know I needed it. Okay. I'm going to stay here right now. Hallelujah. So a lot of times, folks, and Jonathan didn't seem to battle with this, but I sure do. I have all I can do to overcome myself to do what I know what God needs me to do. I don't need anybody else's doubts. I got plenty looking back at me in the mirror knowing, you know, you can't do this. Well, but I'm supposed to. And I'm going to do it, and I may not tell very many people. I have a trusted few ones over there. If I need something, I'll call them. Say, hey, brother, this is what I'm thinking. This is why I'm thinking it. And this is what I think I'm supposed to do. And I have some others, but there are just not very many. Thank you, brother. And I have a hard time overcoming myself. I remember when I quit drinking, I didn't tell very many people. I just kind of disappeared like Jonathan. They didn't know he was gone. I just disappeared from the bar scene, and I started to tell just a few people that I knew would want me to stay sober, and I was facing Goliath, and it was just very touch and go for a long time. I didn't know if I could make it a day, let alone a week, let alone a month. And now 23 years, he's dead. Oh, God lives, Jesus lives, Goliath is dead, and I just praise God for that. But I didn't tell a lot of people when I was sobering up. Anyway, I want to talk a moment about the incredible value of the armor bearer. What a man. What a man. In between, he says, Jonathan said, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that's on the other side. And in between this, he's got a lot of opportunity to throw his opinion in there. Why do you want to go? What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? What did he say? Nothing. I remember Juan, our church plant in Hector Colony, my brother-in-law, we started working on it, and I had an idea of what we were going to build there. Well, he started putting in more footings than I had imagined. And I guess, okay, what do you got in mind here, brother? You know what I said to him? Nothing. Let's build it. Good idea. Let's do it. When my brother-in-law, Chayo, bought this piece of land, he threw his whole heart and everything they had into it and bought this land. The first thing I saw, boy, this isn't very big. Where are the kids going to play? How are we going to advance? And now we built it so we can go up three floors. But I saw a lot of different things. But do you know what I said to him? Oh, this, and it is a very awesome location in the middle of a city of hundreds of thousands of people. It's a city, it's like a city on a hill where he's got it. I know why he bought it there, but I saw the problems. You know what I told him? Let's build it! Let's go! Nice. Oh, we're getting, oh, I'm excited about what's happening there. You know, I have absolutely no doubt that, Jonathan weighed the options. Well, we could wait. We could wait, but the Philistines' army is gathered. They're like sand on the seashore, and they've sent out their greatest warriors. Three sets are already scouting of their raiders Waiting doesn't sound like a good option. Or we could retreat and run and hide in the caves. What's the end? Hide, buy time for what? What's the end means if we wait? That doesn't look good. There's another option. And it's the one Jonathan knew he had to do. We need to attack. It may be that God will move on our behalf. We need to make an assault on this enemy. He didn't like the options. There's a lot of things that a lot of times you may not like the options. He didn't like the options. Let's continue to read in the Word of God in verse 8. So if we're going to do this, so if we're going to attack, I can just see the armor bearer. If we're going to attack, what's the tactic? Well, let's see. Then Jonathan, and I have a hard time reading this without laughing. The tactic ain't so great. Jonathan says, very well, let us cross over to these men and we'll show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, wait until we come to you, then we'll stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they've hidden. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you something. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. Here we see John. Remember, Jonathan's armor bearer said, do all that's in your heart. He remembered his heart. Here we see a clue of what's in Jonathan's heart here in this, in what he says here. He says, Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan, his armor bearer, and then Jonathan, he says, come up after me, for we're going to beat them. No. They would, amen. But he didn't say it like that. He said, for the Lord has delivered them into our hands. No. He said, the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. In verse 6, he says, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that what? Who? Yeah, the Lord will work for us. Nothing restrains who? The Lord. So we have an idea of Jonathan's mindset. It's the Lord and his people. It's a Lord and saving his people. And that flies in the face of the mindset that we grow up with here secularly. It flies right in the face of that. The Lord and his people. What's the plan? Well, the tactic, we could surprise them. I would be thinking if I was the armor bearer, maybe we were going, so we're coming from the worst position tactically, and so at least we can surprise them. You know, like the SEALs, they can move in places that like most people can't, but no, that's not the plan. Hey, everybody, we're coming! Right up between the sharp rock. The one rock means thorny and the other one means slippery. Between sharp thorny rock and slippery thorny rock, we're coming up. What do you guys think? Come on up. We got something for you. Wow, that's a plan, huh? I can appreciate Jonathan's lack of planning. I learned not to plan a lot. I appreciate planning, and I know one of my dear friends is a great planner. It's amazing how we can work together, isn't it? It's harder for a great planner to work with a guy like me, but we do it, don't we? And because I Jonathan, he doesn't have a lot of plans. He said, well, let's go there and we'll see what the Lord might do. And then he makes his next plan. And I appreciate that, because when we first bought the land in Los Canelos, I knew what I was supposed to do, but the land was really expensive. We didn't have any permits. We didn't have permission, because I didn't know the whole community, more than 75% needed to sign off for us to even build the facility there, and there wasn't any Christians there. There was witchcraft, and there was religion, and there was a cartel. So I could have what-ifed myself to death before I ever took a move. And so we have to be careful not to do that in the midst of in how we plan. And I do plan some things. But we have to be careful that to not what-if. Because Jonathan would have never moved if he'd have what-ifed. And neither would his armor bearer. Thanks for being my armor bearer. Randy is an armor bearer. When I'm not busy crawling on the hill, I know you're there. The checks come. Sometimes there's notes of encouragement. Many times not, it's just silent. It keeps coming. I can what if, or I can take an attitude of Jonathan. What if the Lord? It might be that the Lord will do something. If the Lord is for us, who can be against us? Not even this multitude will ultimately win. Oh, that's it. That's the one. That's the one we want. That's the one that we need to develop. So let's see what happens. After the announcement, here we're coming. Let's see what happens. Verse 13 and 14. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter with which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about a half an acre of land. And what I see here is what I see is Jonathan exposing the enemy. He's climbing up and the enemy's coming out. And it's like sometimes you see, will you cover me, like in a military operation? We'll cover you. This is what I see here. Jonathan is being covered by his armor bearer. And he is, as he crawls up, the enemy is exposing himself, and then Jonathan's armor bearer is killing them. And that's what I see. Maybe Jonathan had part piece in that assault in that way. But I see most of the killing, most of the protecting being done by the armor bearer. And that's an amazing thing to think about. That's an incredible amount of trust that Jonathan placed in that armor bearer. You come up behind me. I'm going to crawl up here. That's an incredible servant of God, isn't it? That is absolutely incredible that he would do that. That he would follow that tactic, to follow the Lord in that way. Yeah, and he would say nothing. He didn't question it. He didn't throw his opinion in there. He said, I got your back. Oh. Let's see what happened. The big and is coming. The big and. Come on. The big and. Let's keep going. And there was a trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled. Oh, the plot's thickening. And the earth quaked, so that it was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah and Benjamin looked, and there was the multitude melting away. And they went here and there. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, Now call the roll and see who's gone from us. And when they called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahijah, bring the ark. And of God here. For that time, the ark of the God was with the children of Israel. Now it happened, while Saul talked to the priest, that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they went to the battle. And indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was a very great confusion. Moreover, the Hebrews who were with the Philistines before that time, who came up with them into the camp from the surrounding country, they also joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth-Aven. So what happened? The enemy starts falling. Then God moves in the scene even more. The earth starts shaking. The enemy starts melting away. They get confused. They're not expecting this. They start turning on each other. And then we have repentance. Then we have conversion. Because some of them people that were in the Taliban, they didn't really want to be in the Taliban. And they didn't want to be in the cartel either. So they turned on the Philistines. And they started fighting because they saw they had a chance. I can hop this plane because the door is open and I'm going through that door. So there they go. They fight and they advance and they win. Yeah! God did move. Oh, that's a victory. That's what we need to see. Nothing restrains the Lord from building his church. He will build it until the last one. Nothing restrains. I've seen it. Saw the children go home, go up in the midst of the pandemic. Saw that church get built in the midst of the pandemic. It's moving. We're adjusting to the battlefield. And we are advancing. And the Lord is moving. Sorry, I yelled. I knew I was a little hyper this morning. We need to keep moving. When I was younger, it was easier to take the hill. That 35-year-old kid that went down in the 1993 Corsica with 325,000 miles on it to start his marriage and his life in Mexico, I heard a quote from a combat veteran on my way up here. He said it like this, and it really spoke to me. He said, those young men and women, these young soldiers signing up for combat need to know that that person that's signing up will be killed. I'm not the same boy that I was 20 years ago. I understand the steel-faced look of a battle-hardened Marine. I understand that, and I also understand why after 20 years, military people have a chance to retire, to get out of that. I understand full well. I try to keep what was good about that kid. I call him a kid because he was. I try to keep what's good about him. I don't want to lose me totally. I just want to keep the Christ-likeness part and not grow bitter in battle. And it's a challenge because I hadn't experienced the bloodbath yet. I hadn't experienced the arrows flying by. I didn't know they'd throw rocks at us. Somebody would be throwing rocks at us as we were building the first footings of our facility. I had no idea that I'd be confronting a nationwide war, a cartel war, and part of the battle would be right in my yard. I didn't know what I would be seeing, and so I'm not the same. I'm not the same. But I'm striving. We want to strive to continue the fight. It's not time to retreat, so I'm re-upping. It's not time to retire. It's time to advance. There will be a time to retire, and there will be an eternity to enjoy that retirement. But now's not the time. Now's not the time. So we'll continue to advance. It's not time to retire. It's time to reload. It's time to continue with the mentality of war. We can engage, and we need to engage now in the battle for souls. It will cost a great deal. I have resigned to the high likelihood that one day, just like Jonathan died in battle, I will die very, very likely in some hill in Mexico, one way or another. Maybe not, but wherever I am, by God's grace, I'll be advancing. And the only goal is to finish this race and finish it well and finish it strong. Let's go to Hebrews. I'm just about done here today. So. Chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to continue the fight. This is from Rushford. I was in Rushford, Minnesota. They have a beautiful memorial there for their soldiers, honoring their soldiers. And I found it very ironic that the name of the battle in Afghanistan is Freedom Sentinel. And I had to Google Sentinel, and it's the soldier that has the responsibility to watch over, to watch guard, to protect. And it's very ironic, the name of that war, Freedom Sentinel, because we saw exactly what happens when the sentinel leaves, and then when the sentinel doesn't do anything, and then when the sentinel just talks about doing something, we saw it. It was terribly ugly, and we will continue to see that. But we, as Christians, we cannot have that. One day the dash, they'll put 2021 behind that one. We don't have a date yet. You and I need to continue to advance. We are the city on the hill. We are the light of the world. We are salt and light in this world, and we have a great responsibility to be active in the war until the war is totally done. And we thank God we know who wins. Amen? But there's a job to do. So let's get about doing it. By the grace of God and His incredible power, I'll be about my thing. And I thank God for you guys that have been on the hill with me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I keep crawling. We're going to see what God does. Salvation was not free. Let's pray. God, there's captives out there that you want us to get to. There's some right here in Amory. There's some in the surrounding communities. Might be our neighbor. We might need to do something extraordinary. We might need to do some great act of love that is incomprehensible to someone else so that they might be able to see Jesus Christ and see that there is hope and see that there is an ark that is wide open if they just go in. Lord, help us to remain focused. It's so easy to lose our focus. Help us to keep focused upon you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this high responsibility. Help us not to waste our lives, but to use them wisely, Lord God, thinking upon you and thinking upon the lost. and loving our brethren in all of our faults. Help us, Lord, to do that and reflect that and strive to advance for the gospel's sake. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.